All right, so today we're gonna really dive deep into the world of sword swallowers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. You know, when you think of sword swallowing, you might picture like a rusty carnival or something.
Right, like a sideshow.
Yeah, exactly. But it's actually so much more than that, and we're gonna explore all of that today.
I'm excited.
So we're gonna be talking about a woman named Edna Price. She was known as the Queen of Sword Swallowers.
Wow, Queen of Sword Swallowers. What a title.
Right, and get this, she went from performing at Ringling Bros to Ripley's, believe it or not. We're talking decades of this incredible skill.
Yeah, that's wild. It's like she represents a whole era of entertainment that most people don't even know about anymore.
Totally, and that's what I love about this deep dive. We get to like peek behind the curtain and learn about these incredible people and how they live their
So
lives.
where do we even begin with someone like Edna Price?
Well, we're lucky enough to have access to this treasure trove of information about her life. It was actually compiled by a fan who was completely obsessed with Edna and her career.
Oh, wow, a true fan. That's dedication.
Right. And it gets better. We've also got old newspaper clippings, circus programs, even passenger lists from ships she traveled on.
Wow, so we're talking real detective work here, piecing together her story from all these different sources.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating stuff. Okay, so Edna's story is amazing on its own, but it gets even better because it's totally intertwined with her uncle, Delno Fritz. Have you heard of him?
I don't think so.
Well, he was a legendary sword swallower himself. And get this, he's the one who taught Edna everything she knew.
Wow, so this skill was passed down through their family. That's incredible. It makes you wonder how common that was back then.
Right. Like, was it a family business sort of thing?
Yeah, and the fact that it was passed down through generations speaks to how specialized this skill really was.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just about the performance itself, but also knowing how to do it safely, how to take care of your body.
That's a really good point. And you know, speaking of Delno, we've got some pretty wild stories about him too.
Oh, like what?
Okay, so picture this. Delno's performing on a ship in Honolulu back in the 1920s,
Right.
right? Imagine the scene. The gentle rocking of the waves, the crowds on the edge of their
Okay,
seats.
picturing it, it's very dramatic.
Right. And then suddenly the ship hits a swell and that sword Delno's got down his throat. Well, let's just say it gets a little too comfortable.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a close call. There was even a newspaper article about it from the time. It said something like, sword shimmies in his esophagus.
Sword shimmies in his esophagus. Oh my gosh. That's both terrifying and hilarious.
Right. It's crazy to think that could have gone so wrong, but thankfully Delno was okay and he went on to teach Edna everything he knew.
So wait, Edna learned a sword swallow from the guy who almost choked on his sword because of a rogue wave?
Pretty much. But it wasn't all serious business all the time. You know how families can be.
Oh yeah, bad family.
Well, Edna, being a young woman in the 1920s, she wanted to have a social life, go on dates and such. But apparently Delno was, let's just say he was a little protective of his niece.
Oh, I see. So how did she get around her overprotective uncle?
Well, when she wanted to sneak out on a date with someone Delno didn't approve of, she'd hide his wooden leg.
She hit his wooden leg. You've got to be kidding me. That's amazing.
Right. It's like something out of a movie. But, you know, hiding a wooden leg to go on dates, that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Edna's story. She was a force to be reckoned with, and we're just getting started.
It really makes you think about how much dedication it took to be a sword swallower back then. You
Yeah.
know, it wasn't just a job, it was like a whole way of life.
Totally. And speaking of dedication, Edna didn't just learn the family business, she took it to a whole other level.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about Ringling Bros, Cole Brothers Circus, even Ripley's Auditorium. She conquered them all.
And let's not forget those World's Fair.
Oh, right. The Chicago and New York World's Fairs, huge events, millions of people from all over.
Can you imagine that? Being on stage at something like that? With all those people watching?
It's mind-boggling, and it really shows how popular sword swallowing was back then. But here's something interesting. Edna's contract with Ringling Bros had this clause that said she was never obligated to perform in her hometown.
Really? Why not? You'd think they'd want to show off a hometown hero.
Right, but apparently they put that in there so she could visit her family without work getting in the way.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. To have that kind of pull with Ringling Bros, it really makes you wonder what life was like for these performers back then. I mean, they were constantly on the road, traveling, meeting new people.
It must have been a wild life,
Yeah.
but also kind of lonely, you know, always on the move.
Yeah, I can see that. But also exciting. I mean, imagine all the people they met. Our sources mentioned that Edna actually crossed paths with Major Might and Harry Houdini.
Whoa, seriously. Now, those are some names I recognize. What I wouldn't give to have been a fly on the wall during those encounters.
Right. Talk about a meeting of the minds. But even surrounded by legends like that, Edna still managed to stand out. She was always pushing the boundaries of what people thought was possible.
And that's where her story takes a turn for the even more amazing policeman.
With electricity becoming more common, Edna saw an opportunity to really up the ante.
Oh yeah, here we go. The glowing sword swallower.
Exactly. She became known as the first woman to swallow the white neon tube. Can you imagine the guts that took?
Seriously, traditional sword swallowing is dangerous enough, but neon cubes, those are fragile. Not to mention the whole electricity thing.
It's incredible. It must have required so much precision and control. One wrong move. Well, let's just say I'm glad I wasn't in the front row.
And if I'm remembering correctly, didn't she have an accident at some point? Something about a broken neon tube.
You're right. She did. It's a good reminder that this wasn't all fun and games. There was a real risk involved. Every single performance.
Absolutely. But even with the risks, she kept going. It's clear that she had a true passion for this. But of course, all good things must come to an end.
It's kind of bittersweet when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, this incredible career that spanned decades. There had to be a point when it, you know, it had to slow down.
Absolutely. And for someone like Edna, who lived for the stage, you have to wonder what comes next.
Right. It's not like you just hang up your sword-swallowing hat, so to speak.
Exactly. But from what we've gathered, Edna landed on her feet, as always.
She did. She transitioned from performing to hosting. She actually started out at Ripley's. Imagine that.
Wow. From sword swallower to Ripley's hostess. That's quite a career change.
Talk about staying power. But it makes sense when you think about it. She had this amazing ability to connect with people, whether she was on stage or off.
It really speaks to her personality, doesn't it? This ability to adapt and reinvent herself.
Totally. But it wasn't just her career that took on new life. She remarried later in life to a boxer named John Jack Harris.
Oh, right. I'd almost forgotten about that. A sword swallower and a boxer. What an interesting couple they must have been.
Right. It just goes to show that Edna's life was anything but ordinary. But sadly, even the most extraordinary lives have to come to an end. She passed away in 1987 at the age of 88.
88 years old. That's quite a run.
Yeah.
But she left behind an incredible legacy.
Absolutely. And it's a legacy that's intertwined with her uncle, Delno's story. It's easy to get caught up in Edna's fame, but we can't forget about the man who taught her everything.
You're right. Delno played a pivotal role in her life. And his own story is just as fascinating and heartbreaking in some ways.
You're talking about his wife, Maud Daldon, right?
Yeah. She was a talented sword swallower herself. But tragically, she died during a performance.
It's a stark reminder of the risks these performers took every time they stepped on stage.
It really is. And it makes you appreciate their skill and dedication even more.
Totally. They were artists in their own right, pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone listening who wants to learn more about the history of sword swallowing, there's a fantastic book coming out soon called To the Hilt, A Sword Swallower's History of Sword Swallowing.
Oh, yeah. That book's amazing. It comes out on February 28, 2025. And it's written by Dan Meyer and Mark Hartzman.
It must read for anyone who's even remotely curious about this unique art form.
Totally. You can find it wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore, you name it.
It's well worth checking out.
So there you have it, the incredible story of Edna Price, the queen of sword swallowers.
It's amazing what you can discover when you start digging into these forgotten corners of history.
That's what we love about these deep dives. Always something new and fascinating to uncover. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of sword swallowing, and be sure to check back soon for another deep dive into history's hidden gems.